We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to a wonderful Wednesday. Isn't it great to be in Brevard County, Florida? It is a beautiful, beautiful place to live. And so we want to welcome you to today's broadcast. You're listening to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And I pray that today you are planning on living victoriously, empowered by the grace of God to do great and mighty exploits. Because you know your God. The people that know their God shall do great exploits. And so we're very thankful. My name's Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God today. We want to start off by saying thank you to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. Can you imagine how uncomfortable it would be to live in the heat of Florida without electricity? I'm going to put it electricity. I'm not even going to go to air conditioner yet, because if you lived here without electricity, that means fans wouldn't work. That means lights wouldn't work. I mean, it would just be an uncomfortable place to live. And so if you are having some electrical issues, maybe you've got outlets that don't work or light switches that aren't working or ceiling fans that need to be replaced or something along those lines, if you want to give the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric a call, you can reach them at 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. I personally think that ceiling fans are a marvelous invention because when the air is hot, I don't like it just sitting there. I like movement. Someone told me decades ago that one of the things about the charismatic movement was it was a movement. There were things that were moving. And I pray that you are not only moving the air around atmospherically in your life, but I pray that the Holy Spirit is moving as well, and you are active and participating in the kingdom of God. So I want to remind you, tomorrow night, I believe at 7 p.m. at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church on Stone Street in Cocoa, Florida, that's where the National Day of Prayer is going to be. Come and join your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, and let's call upon the King of Heaven to move once again in our great land. And so if you have not made plans to attend, I know that there are some other events that are taking place at city halls down in the southern end of the county. There's probably some things that are happening on the northern end of the county. So find a prayer event that is near you, and let's call upon the Lord and ask him to call America back into a relationship with him. How many times have I been to the National Day of Prayer? I don't know. How many times am I going to continue to go? And as long as I can, and until God answers the prayer to call America back into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is Thursday night. Tonight we will be having our family night at Merritt Assembly of God. We've got girls ministry classes going on. I'll be teaching the boys. We got an adult Bible study that is going on, focusing on the words that you speak. I want you to speak life and not death, and use your mouth for godly purposes, not ungodly purposes. And if you think that's not a problem in America, let me tell you about a news article that I read a couple of weeks ago. It was talking about how people deal with frustration and stress. And in that article, it said that 25% of Americans, that at least those who had responded to the survey, said that they had used their mouth to say their first curse word of the day by 9 a.m. And that over half of the respondents said that they had used their mouth to pronounce cursing profanity by 10:54 a.m., over half. By the way, profanity simply means common. If anything, this statistic proved that cursing is the common language of the people. And you are not called to be common. You are called to be extraordinary. And so we have a horrible mouth problem in America. When you look at it and you see that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, this is indicating that we have some serious issues that we need to address. And so I want us to be called back into a right relationship with God where we use our mouth the right way. And so that's what they're talking about in the adult class Wednesday nights. That starts at 7 p.m. Thankful that Merit Assembly of God has been blessed with some wonderful saints of God who are able to teach other people. I'm thankful that it doesn't all fall upon my shoulders. We've got teachers of girls and teachers of youth and teachers of boys and adults. And so we're looking forward to what God is going to do in that situation. I want to take you today to Matthew, the 4th chapter. Matthew chapter 4, we just finished on yesterday's program talking about the temptations of Jesus and how that when that ended, that the angels came and ministered to him. The angels came and ministered to him. And in verse number 12 is where we're going to pick up our reading today. We're going to read through the end of the chapter because this describes some of the early stages of his ministry. There's probably a time frame where some other things have been accomplished from verse number 11 to verse number 12. I heard as much as 4 to 6 months might be involved in that. I haven't taken the time to look at that to find out it's not pertinent to what we're talking about today. Verse number 12, now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics. And he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, that means the 10-city region, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. So here we find John, who had baptized Jesus earlier, is now been arrested, and his ministry is going to be communicating the gospel to Herod. Herod actually liked talking to John, even though John was speaking correction into his life because of a relationship that he had going on that was not God approved. God does have opinions about relationships. Just want to put that out there to you. It's You know, I go back and think of Abraham when Sarah had died and he sent his servant to find a wife for his son Isaac, and the man prayed that God would lead him to the right person. And when it was evident that God had led him to the right person, he stopped to thank God for leading him to the right person. And I think that we should allow God to be the one who is in charge of our relationships. You know, that might seem strange to you, but it's normal to me. It really is. I take God's direction very seriously in every area of my life, including pastoring. We've had literally thousands of visitors through the years at Merit Assembly of God. And for those visitors, when we ask them to fill out a visitor's card, it's because I have a great ability to remember faces. It's not flawless, but it's pretty good. But I struggle with the issue of remembering names. And so we ask people to fill out a visitor's card whenever they come to the church. And here's what happens. When I see their name, it's a lot harder for me to forget it. And the first thing that we do for visitors is we pray for God's direction in their lives, that he will help them to find the proper church fit for them, where not only are their needs going to be met, actually that's secondary as far as I'm concerned, the other is that where they are going to find their place in the body of Christ, where they're going to be able to grow, where they're going to be able to thrive, where they are going to be able to be effective for the kingdom of God. And so there are some people who come to Merit Assembly of God, and when we pray that, he directs them someplace else. You know, I believe that we need to come to that place in our walk with Jesus where we get this is not a my original, this is something that our Sunday school teacher, Tim Garrison, had said, we need to get as excited when God says no as we are when he says yes. Because his provision, his plan, his purpose in our life is going to be absolutely perfect. And so John is ministering, and he's telling Herod the same thing that he had told everybody else, and that is, even the king has got to repent. The president has to repent. The Supreme Court justices have to repent. There is no other way to heaven other than the name of Jesus. No other way to be saved. So I was quoting a verse of scripture Sunday before last, as I was preaching, I was communicating how a lot of people try and conform Jesus to their reality, their circumstances, but in actuality, because Jesus is the Amen, he is the one that when he speaks it, it happens. He is the faithful and the true. He's not guessing. He's not speculating. He's not second guessing himself. When he speaks truth. When he speaks life. When he speaks action. And reality has to conform to what Jesus said. Now, the reality is that many of us have unsaved loved ones. Many of us have people that we're praying for to come to faith that they haven't yet come to faith. And so the scripture says that if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you and your entire household will be saved. And what that does is it births a faith in us that says the reality that Jesus wants to save my spouse, my kids, my parents, my next door neighbors, that's the reality that our faith clings to, not the alcohol they may be addicted to, not the drugs that they might be addicted to, not the immorality that they may be living in. All of those things have to bow their knee to the reality that Jesus declares. And so do not ever give up. Do not ever give up on whether someone can come to faith or not. The thief on the cross, it was with some of his last breaths that he put his faith in Jesus Christ. Was that a horrible day for him? It was a horrible day. It was the day he died, but it was also a marvelous day. It was the day that he encountered Jesus. It was the day that Jesus' blood was shed. He actually died before that thief on the cross did, and he extended to him this statement of fact that said, you might be on the cross right now, but today you are going to be with me in paradise. At first look, that statement would appear to be contradictory to the facts that crucifixion many times took days. But Jesus is never wrong. And so when he said, today you will be with me in paradise, there was a reality that the high and holy days of Passover were right on the threshold, and the religious leadership said, we need to speed up these crucifixions. And so they came and they broke the legs of the two thieves so that they would not be able to push themselves up, and they would suffocate quicker. When they got to Jesus, he was already dead. And so today, if you find yourself in a place where the promises have not yet manifest, don't give up. Cling to the things that Jesus has said. And so Jesus, when he heard that John has been imprisoned, he made a journey. He made his destination to be Galilee. Now, Galilee was not looked upon in a favorable sense. They did not think that much good was going to come out of Galilee in those days. But Jesus doesn't really care what men's opinions of the situation is. What Jesus is concerned about is fulfilling the scripture. Verse number 14 said that Jesus went to Galilee. He left Nazareth. He came and dwelt in Capernaum, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying. And so, just as Jesus came to John the Baptist to fulfill all righteousness, now he goes to Galilee to fulfill prophecy. Whenever you look in the New Testament and you begin to see prophecies being fulfilled, things that God says are going to happen, and then they do in the scriptures, many people look at that and they say, well, this was obviously written at a later date because no one could speak with such accuracy as to be able to make that statement hundreds of years before it came to pass. But God can. God can. I don't know if you've ever played a computerized game of chess. It has variable degrees, and I'm no chess master. I'm more of a novice than I am an expert. But you can continue to increase the difficulties, and when you increase the difficulty level on those computerized chess games, what it does is it starts projecting further and further out every move that you could make and every move that the computer could make. And so the more sophisticated the computer program's analysis is, the more difficult it's going to be for you to win. Well, I want you to understand that no matter how advanced computers become, God is smarter than every computer. He was doing statistical analysis and strategic analysis long before computers ever came along. You see, things are not just happening in the world. God has a strategic plan. Now, I will tell you this. He didn't want us sinning in the garden, and he doesn't want you sinning now. But God has contingency plans. And so Jesus comes to to fulfill prophecy. I will say this again. The role of the prophet is not just forthtelling, not just telling the future, but the primary role of the prophet was to summon people into a relationship with the living God. Whether they've had a relationship or they hadn't, Jonah went to Nineveh and preached that they needed to repent, and the whole city, 120,000 people, put their faith in the Lord God. Revival came, mercy came, because a reluctant prophet finally went and did what God told him to do, and that was to call that city to repentance. So you and I, we need to make sure that we never lose sight of the primary purpose that we have, and that is to let people know that there is a Savior who loves them, who cares for them, and wants to move mightily in their life. So Jesus is coming to Galilee. In 1 Kings chapter 9, I absolutely love the topic of Galilee, because there were 20 towns in Galilee that Solomon gifted to King Hiram, who had helped provide the materials for the temple of God and for his houses. And so he had not only paid him, but he said, I'm going to give you these 20 cities. And they were in Galilee, and Hiram renamed them. He called them good for nothing. There wasn't any possibility that anything good could come out of there. And so there was a little bit of a tension there between the two kings. You know, what have you done to me, my brother? You've given me 20 towns that are good for absolutely nothing. And I remind you that when people have made statements like you will never amount to anything, those are not prophetic statements. Those are just their erroneous judgments. I have a friend of mine. He's extremely intelligent. He's a doctor. He teaches at a university. He may be retired by now. He was the best man at my wedding. And he still has his kindergarten report card, where the teacher sent a note home to his parents saying that he showed no academic aptitude whatsoever, and suggested that he was going to struggle in his academic career because she didn't recognize that, therefore it couldn't possibly have existed. And Jesus says, I want you to know that I've come to fulfill Scripture. And that is that the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. I'm coming to make my home in Galilee. I'm coming to minister to the people in great darkness. I'm coming to transform a community. I don't care if nothing good has ever happened there before. It's getting ready to. Galilee is getting ready to be a focal point of great magnitude in the spiritual, in the political, and in the social things that are taking place in Israel right now. Galilee is probably a much more important place now than Hiram ever thought it could have been. And I tell you that because too many people embrace the negative declarations that others have made over their life, and they embrace them as the message of God. And I want you to know that you need to add something to those declarations. You need to add Jesus to the declaration. You know, I had people who've told me that I was worthless, just like Hiram said of the towns in Galilee. They told me that I would never amount to anything, that I would be of no use whatsoever in the ministry. But I didn't let that deter me. I'm not going to say it was easy, because it took about 2 years for God to bring a word of healing into my life. And finally, there was a person that showed up and said, I would love to have you come and work with us. How is it that someone has not said yes to giving you the opportunity to serve in the kingdom of God? Okay. And so I want you to know today that God believes in your potential a lot more than other people do. I've had some wonderfully negative things said about me by other people. But I never let their voices rise above God's. Don't let people's criticism negate God's call on your life. Jesus comes to fulfill. He comes to fulfill your purpose. If you have not yet asked Jesus into your life, if you have not yet let him lead you, I don't care how good life is for you right now, you are living beneath the potential that God knows is there in you. You were created on purpose, for his purpose, by his power. And so factor Jesus into those equations. Whenever somebody gives me a critical review, I don't just automatically discard it. Okay, if somebody writes me something, it's happened, and I take it and I read it, and I pray over it, and I say this: God, is there any truth in this statement? I don't automatically say there's no truth in it. I want to ask God, God, is there anything of you in this statement? And if there is, then I want to correct it. And I want to do what I can to mend that relationship. But if that is someone that is just venting, or someone who's the enemy is using to try and discourage and demoralize and distract me from God's purpose, then I say, God, I just want to tell you right now, I release them from this statement, and I throw it away. Don't allow the enemy to convince you that you are good for nothing. Factor Jesus in. He wants to come. He wants to bring light. He wants to bring life. And he wants to make you priceless, not worthless. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.